to Hebrews chapter 6. We started this last week. And we're going to be tonight, and I'm going to bring you some, next couple weeks, I've got some other things I want to share with you from the book of Hebrews. So even when we get done with these verses, I think I've got a few more things I want to share with you. I like what Tony Hudson said. He said, I raised my kids up on drugs. Like I raised Dave and Tammy on drugs. I drug them to Sunday school. I drug them to church. I drug them Sunday night, Wednesday night. My kids were drugged all the time to church. He talked about, yesterday, how many remember know Carl Hatch? Carl Hatch was probably the greatest soul winner. I know he was the greatest soul winner that I knew. He might have been the greatest soul winner that maybe ever walked this earth. Carl Hatch was just a little fellow. Matter of fact, Carl Hatch was preaching. When I started Lighthouse Baptist Church, I listened to Carl Hatch for 5 straight days in Toledo over at Bethel Baptist Church. No, it was Bethel Baptist Church over on Glendale Avenue. And it moved me so much. I said, I'm going out and start that church. I had been praying about it, but I just said, that's it, God. I fasted all that week. And I said, God, I'm going to go out. And that's how I found that storefront. And really, God used Carl Hatch to push me all the way over to get me going out and starting that Lighthouse Baptist Church. Of course, Carl Hutch, about a year ago, he passed away. But Carl Hutch was a little fellow, and he talked, he had a real kind of a dark, not like a deep voice, drawl, crackling. And he was from the South. And Carl Hutch, he would say anything at any time to anyone. He said that, and of course, remember, Brother Hudson, Brother Curtis Hudson was a renowned preacher. That was Tony's dad. Tony's way bigger than his dad. Curtis Hudson was just an average-sized man. But Tony Hudson's a huge, he's a big fellow, man. And but he used to pick up preachers for his dad because his dad had the largest church in Georgia. I think they had 8,000 people at one time. Highest they ever hit was 8,000. His daddy had a church of 8,000 there in Georgia. His daddy never went to Bible college. His daddy was a mailman. Went to hear Dr. Howells preach, got convicted, and started a church. And was the largest church in Georgia, Fundamental Baptist Church, Dr. Curtis Hudson. Anyways, he was talking about how Carl Hatch flew in one day, and Tony got all excited because he saw Amy Grant. Carl Hatch didn't know who Amy Grant was. He said, Brother Hatch, there's Amy Grant. Of course, he was a lot younger then, And
who's he? Who's she? Who's Amy Grant?
Well, Brother Carl, it was a gospel singer that went over to country music.
Oh, yeah? Let me go talk to her. And
he walked up there and he said, Mrs. Grant, Amy,
I'm Carl Hatch.
Carl Hatch was only about 5'5", 5'6", about the size of, just a little bit bigger than Jimmy Furness. You can picture Jimmy Furness. Just a little bit bigger than Jimmy. And, boy, that guy was a powerhouse. And those that know him know what I'm talking about.
He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, why did you turn your back on God?
She says, Preacher Hatch, I didn't turn my back. I'm not stopping singing gospel. I'm just doing some other songs too.
He said, I want to ask you another question. Why did you turn your back on God? No, preacher. I didn't. He said, I want to ask you one more question. Why did you turn your back on God? Then he finally says, I'm going to ask you one more question. Why haven't you told your kids about Christ? They're probably all going to hell. And he said, Amy Grant broke down and started to weep. Now, I don't own a record by Amy Grant, but I know I've heard of her. But she said, you tell them, preacher, because they picked her up for the airport. And they led all her family to Christ. Yeah. I'll give you one more. These are some of the things you pick up when you get to be around those guys. Let me give you this one. Now we'll get into it. You know how you go to those big smorgasbords? Golden Corral and stuff like that. Their church always lets out way later than the liberal churches, you know. Well, they went to this buffet. I'm going to say Golden Corral because I don't remember the name he said. But there was like maybe 100 people in front of them, you know, because the other churches got out sooner. He said the liberal Baptists got out way ahead, and all those people were ahead of them. And he said Carl Hatch went up to the people, walked ahead of all, went up and talked to the manager of the restaurant. This is a true story. I'm not making this stuff up. Carl Hatch would do this, and Mark knows about it. Anybody knows Carl Hatch, he did this. Next thing, Tony Hudson, Tony said, he heard on the loudspeaker, would the ambassador and their company come forward? Tony didn't know what was going on, but they did what, you know. Hatch told him he had an ambassador with him from another country, from another kingdom. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we're ambassadors for Christ. At least that's what went through my mind. He didn't mention it, but that's got to be what he used. And they went in front of all those people. They gave him a table, set up a table for all the, you know, all their family, and the waiters could tell me. And Carl said, "Tell them about our country. Tell them about how many people live." And he said, "Yeah, there's no graveyards. People live forever." The guy says, "Oh my land, no cancer." He was just going on and on and on. The guy was saying, "Wow, this is unbelievable." He said, "Tell them the cheap." He said, "Yeah, the streets are gold. We walk on the streets." Amen. You know what? We have fun with that, but we're going to that place. But Carl Hatch loved his Bible, and he loved God. He loved souls. And they tried to, I don't know if they led that man to Christ or not, but you're ambassadors, each one of you. And they said, he had to use that, he had to be using 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it says we're ambassadors for Christ. And at least that's what went through my mind. When I told Dave, I said, he's got to be going out of 2 Corinthians 5:20. And one thing, though, Johnny didn't have to wait to eat, which is the most important thing. And those great men of God, they've got all those stories, you know, and they've got all these things because they're around all those great men. That's why I loved David was with this morning at 7:30. David went to breakfast with Bob Gray the second and Bob Gray the senior. He was eating breakfast with him this morning. We saw Dr. Gray before we went to church yesterday morning. We saw him, we talked to him, we were with him. I called him and talked to him last night after church was over. And it's great to be friends with those great men of God. And you get to see what goes on in other areas of those Christianity. And not everybody has the privilege to be with all those kind of people. So it's great to be there with them. That was one of my motivations, just so we could see them. And we had a great time. It was a great time. And let's get going here. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Yeah, Hebrews. My mind's tired. Hebrews chapter 6. One thing, boy, Sonia, she's on it, boy. You better be right. Your pencil better be sharpened, because she sits up there and says, "Hey, buddy, you missed. You're off. You're not on the point." Thank you, Sonia.
Hey, happy anniversary to Harry and his wife. And their, how many years, Harry? How many, you and Wilma? 32 years. And let's give him a great hand. God bless you. 32 years. Tremendous. God bless you both. And that's exciting. We started this. Sonia, I started this verse last week. I did, didn't I? Okay. We're going to give a quick review and finish it. I don't think I finished it, did I? Okay. And then you wanted to know what the third scripture was in Hebrews. I remember that. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 through 17. Okay, because she's going to come up to me after church and say, what were they? And I'm going to get ahead of her. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. And thank you for doing the jail ministry while we're gone. Jeannie, who was going to the jail ministry with the girls? You and Ruthie? How'd it go? Fantastic. Fantastic. That's great. Eddie, I think they said 12 there last night with the boys. But Eddie said they were padding them down before they came in, so maybe there might have been something going on there last night that we didn't know about, you know. Just might have hit a bad day for them, you know. And alrighty, we're in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to give you, we're working on this problem text. It isn't a problem when you know the scripture. And the Bible teaches we're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. And when you know the truth sets you free. Amen. So, we started this last week. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted. Remember, I said they tasted it, but they didn't eat of it. Remember that? These are not saved people. These are people that heard the gospel, that could have, that, remember, last week I took you and we showed you over in Matthew? I can't pull it up in my mind right now. I think it was Matthew 13, 1 through 8, talks about the seeds. Remember, some fell on stony ground, but remember it said it didn't take root? How many remember that when we read that? It burned out. These are people that got religion but didn't get saved. They might have been a member. They might have been baptized. They might have did something, but they weren't really saved. You got to remember, it never took root. It never got deep within. They might have tasted, but they didn't swallow. They didn't get it down their heart. Remember I showed you that last week? And I said, with the heart, man believeth on the righteous. Remember that? And also I said, these false teachers die. if they really believe what they're teaching, then they're really in trouble. Because they're always telling these people they get lost, but they're telling them to come back and get saved again. Well, this says, Brother John, if they can get lost, they can't come back. Look what it says. For it's impossible. The reason it's impossible, because once you die, you can't get, once you don't trust Christ, you die and go to hell. For it is impossible for those who have once enlightened, after you die, there's no second chance. There's a song, it's now or never. And you better, it's either Christ now or never. For it's impossible for those who have once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. They tasted, but they didn't take it in. They heard about it. They got religion, but they didn't get Christ. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They could have had it. And have tasted the good word. Yeah, they heard it and they tasted it. But it didn't get root. Didn't get down in their heart. It was stony ground. Remember how I took that scripture last week? Matthew, here's a reference, Matthew 13, 1 through 8. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. Yeah, they said, forget Christ. And put him to open shame. Now here's verse 7. By the way, hold your hand there in Hebrews. Don't leave it. We're going to come right back. I don't think I gave you this verse last week. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Yeah, these people were in church. These people might have been on the roll books. These people might have done some prayed and everything else in the church. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 18 and 19. Little children are born again Christians. Are you with me? It's the last time, and as you have, are you in 1 John 2? I'm in 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it's the last time that, as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. I'm in verse 19 of 1 John 2. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I'm going to tell you right now, Judas Iscariot was with the 12. He wasn't one of them. Jesus said, didn't I pick you 12? Want to use the devil? He was talking about Judas. Are you with me? Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. This chapter 6 is not talking about people that are saved losing their salvation. It's talking about people that were lost, that they had a profession, but they were not possessors. They did not know, they were not born again. Once you're washed in the blood, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Carl. They had an opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost, but they didn't. They had this. In other words, it's freely given. Those who will take it. They could have been. They heard the preaching every week. They were there for the partaking of it. They just didn't take it. Matter of fact, that verse says they. What's that verse? Go back to Hebrews 6. Look at verse 4. The scripture I want where they if they shall fall away to ruin themselves, they crucified to themselves the Son of God. They said, I don't need him. Let me see that. We don't need that. I don't need his sacrifice. What, Christ got to keep dying for people? Hello? How many are with me yet? I'm over there. I'm in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. And remember I talked to you last week about and I took you over to Luke, these people that had demons, they got cast out, devils, but they went right back and they had seven more. Remember, was it Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26? It says that the devils were cast out, and yet they went right back and they had seven more, even greater. These are, look up here. Look up, you got to get this. When God gives us the truth, He holds us responsible. We're responsible for the truth that God gives us. A lot of people take it for granted. You're today, you're getting truth, and you just shun truth off. Watch out, you're going to stand before God for that. When God's truth goes out, we're accountable. Well, I just didn't feel like accepting that truth right then, preacher. In my life, I wasn't ready for it. Ready or not, you got it. I mean, we're not like Frank Sinatra. I'll do it my way. By the way, he didn't do it his way either. He found out it was God's way or no way at all. And now are you in chapter 6? Look at verse 7 and 8. And Mark, I'll prove it to you here. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, that he's talking about lost people here. Now watch. And verse 9 is going to really show you he was talking to lost people. Look at verse 7, though. For the earth, which drinketh, he gives you an illustration. The earth, which it drank today in Ravenna. Can I tell you something, Brother Billy? It was drinking from Columbus, Ohio, all the way to Ravenna, and it never let up. Man, it was thirsty today, buddy. It was coming down in buckets. Those old winter ones. And we had one that just made racket, but you had to keep them running because you had to keep the windows clear. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. Everybody has an opportunity to be saved. But that which beareth thorns and briars, remember we read Matthew 13 last week? It said the thorns and it stuffed it out. You know what? Hold your hand. We're going to read that again. Don't lose Hebrews 6. I'm going to read. I just feel impressed that God wants. Look at Hebrews. Look at Matthew 13. Don't leave. Don't leave Hebrews. Matthew 13. And look at verses 1 through 8. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. I'm in Matthew 13, 2 now. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So he went into a ship and sat there, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds, they fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. By the way, the seeds are the word of God. And some fell upon stony places, where they did not have much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. People come to church and boy, they'll come down with crocodile tears. They're all excited about, man, I got religion. The sad part is that's all they got. They're people. Look up here. People are under such great stress today. I mean, they got health problems, divorce rate over 50%. Hello? Alcohol, drugs. Women are beaten. Women, even men are being battered. Hello? Kids are being battered. I mean, that's why you that deal, you people that deal at the altar, make sure when people come forward, you altar workers, you make sure, you ask them, why did you come forward? Because a lot of times that lady might be crying. She might have raised her hand for salvation, but her salvation, she ain't worried about her soul going to hell. She's worried about her marriage. She's worried about buying food for her babies so they don't go hungry. Are you with me? And so we got to be understanding where people are at a lot of times. And so they'll take this in like, yeah, I've been here 19 years, Mac. How many people have we seen walk those aisles in 19 years? Now, granted, I know a lot of them got saved, but there's some of them. We've got people in our membership that I guarantee you aren't going to go to heaven. And not because they're not members here. Because they just never, they got on the membership roll, and they might have gotten in the baptism, but they didn't get in the Lord. You can have all the religion you want. You might have worked in a teen ministry, the ABL, or a vacation Bible school. They might be working in different ministries, but they're not saved. Folks, the majority of people really don't have it. They've got religion. Hello? They get excited for a while, but they don't really get it. I'm going to tell you, you can tell people by their fruit. I'm not a judge, but I'm a fruit inspector. When people really get saved, and when we go back to Hebrews, I am going to go back to Hebrews right now. He talks about fruit. Real people that get saved have real fruit. Some have more than others. I'm not preaching a working salvation. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about a salvation that works. I served Christ. I got saved. And I, folks, I know I'm a preacher. And that's hard for
Well, he's a preacher. He's supposed to like the Bible. He's a preacher. He's supposed to get excited about the music. No, I'm a Christian first.
Amen.
I'm saved just like you are. Hello?
Amen.
I'm excited about heaven.
Yes.
I'm excited about the promises of God.
Yes.
Brother Phil, we go out Saturday knocking on doors, and we are. If it rains, we're still going to go out. I've got papers we can follow up and go knock on, visit the homes, but we're going. I'm going no matter what. Hello? I'm going to tell those people I've got a place that they can look forward to going to. But Carl, when I got saved, my life changed. Now look up here. I'm not perfect. I'm far from being perfect. I told the church Sunday, those that came for Sunday school, last week I smashed his finger. I was getting that book out of the drawer in the kitchen. And I wish I'd have thought that brought it. Oh, I wish I'd thought that brought it. And I took the phone book out and made a phone call to the Record Courier. And then I put it back in. I was closing it tight. Oh, my lands. Woohoo! Man, I smashed his finger. Man, blood was dripping down. I thought I ripped the whole thing off. And boy, I got hot. I lost my temper. That fallen man, that Mr. Sin, that old man, the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither and can be hatred, worse than hatred. And I took that Ravenna telephone book, and I beat that drawer, and I said, I'll get you for doing that to me. I'll get you for doing that to me. And I scared my little grandson. He never saw his grandpa get mad like that. But I mean, I ripped that phone. Oh, that phone book was tore up, buddy. And Rosie said, you're scaring Loki. Oh, I'm far from being perfect. I wish you could have been there. That next day, Loki, him and David, they got these little play boxing gloves. He said, he brought me the one for my hand. He said, Grandpa, next time you put the phone, wear this glove so you won't hurt your finger. My grandson's a smart kid. It was so precious. And, you know, of course, you know, and I went to him. I told him I was sorry. After I got calmed down after about 30 minutes. And I could control myself. I said, Grandpa was wrong to do that. I'm sorry. And I said, look at my finger. And boy, it was all blood. It was, man, it was bad news to Charlie, buddy. I'm telling you right now. And I said, but Grandpa was wrong to do that, Lukey. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you, honey. Even though he was just standing off. But he saw me. I literally had a rage. Boy, that hurt. Scripture says you're supposed to give glory to God for all things. But, buddy, I didn't. Giving thanks for all things in the Ephesians. And by the way, you don't either all the time either. I let that old man. I yielded myself to that fallen nature. But before I got saved, I was like that all the time. I'm glad, and for the most part, I keep it in check now. I had the most foul mouth that a person could ever have before I got saved. I was very evil. And I'm glad God washed my mouth up. Before I got saved, my mom washed it up one night, too. She heard me cussing in the driveway. I was just a little boy, about 10 or 11 years old. I didn't know the windows were open. She heard me cuss. How many, the old folks will know, how many remember lava soap, lava?
Yeah.
My mama said, come here, Richie. No, she really said, come here, Dr. Skyver, I want to talk to you. Yeah. And she said, I heard what you said. I said, oh, I did not know. I said, no, I heard you. You got a dirty mouth. She said, open your mouth. I'm going to clean your mouth up. And she put lava soap in there, and she never heard me say another cuss word. I said a lot when I wasn't around her, but she never heard me say another one in that driveway. What I'm saying is this, but after I got saved, God put some lava in there too.
Amen.
God cleaned it up a whole lot more than my mama did.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can tell people when they got saved, because you'll see fruit. That, because you're gonna see, people aren't perfect, but you'll see, because see, Christ is living within them. The Holy Spirit's in there. We got the Holy Ghost when we got saved, Billy. He's in there now. That's why the Bible says, "Know ye not?" Go, hold your hand in Hebrews there. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I think that's Corinthians 6. It's right in verse 19 and 20. It's either 1 Corinthians 6 or 2 Corinthians. Let's try 1 Corinthians 6. That feels good to me. Who's got it for me? I'm going to have you read it for me. Get my eyes at rest here. I don't have my glasses on. Mark, can you? Don't lose Hebrews. I'm making my way back to Hebrews. Hebrews. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Know ye not? It's asking a question. Know ye not? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. See, we got the moment Sean asked Christ to save him, bam, he got it. The moment you ask Christ to save you, bam, you got it. The moment I asked Christ to save me on 1034 and a half Sherman Street in front of the old green cops, paid $110 of lamps and everything, that very moment, bam, I got it. Been in there ever since, he will be forever. The Bible says, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when I'm going to go up and be with Jesus. So there's, while I'm on this earth, there's never be a time that he's not in there. He's housed inside me, or he's tabernacle within me. How many are with me yet? My body is the temple of God inside. My body's not. My body's a flesh, but he's inside me. And because when he got inside me, that's why I think different. That's why I walk different. That's why I talk different. You can definitely see fruit from when I was lost until now. Hello? Now, some people try to do an outward thing, and they make people think that they're saved because they have some outward, but they're really, inwardly, they're not. And that's what God's talking about here. Over, go back to Hebrews chapter 6, because you're gonna find them out. They'll walk with you for a while. I remember I told you in 1 John they walked with, but then they really not were all, because they would have continued had they been there. Remember I read that in 1 John 2. How many are you hearing what the preacher's saying? Go back to Hebrews 6 and look at verse 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain cometh off and bringeth forth herbs, meats for them by whom it dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Now watch. Look at verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. He said the bad stuff is not going to make it. Are you with me? Watch verse 9, because he's talking about bearing fruit. Is that verse 7 and 8 unfruitful? Yes. Verse 8 is talking about no fruit. Look at verse 8 again. Bear thorns and briars? You're not getting no fruit off of thorns and briars. Are you with me? I'm here with the preacher. Now watch verse 9. But beloved, who's the beloved? Saved people. We are persuaded better things of you. You're not like these people. Hello? You're not like these lost people that were going under a profession that they had Christ and had a chance to be saved. They were with us. They walked with us. They acted like us for a while, but they were not of us. You look up here. And by the way, John, for some reason, I want to say, I didn't have this plan. John 15 says, we're to abide in him and we'll bear fruit. More fruit and much fruit. John 15, 1. I am the vine, you're the branches. Are you with me? These people didn't bear any. Verse 7 and 8, they didn't bear any fruit. But Paul said, but beloved, you're not like these people. You're saved. Beloved, you're... See the distinction between saved and lost? In verse 7 and 8, he's talking about lost people. In verse 9, he's talking about the saved people. But look at that. How many see the distinction there? You got to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. How many see that? You're not like those people. You can't lose your salvation. You've got fruit. And so, not only did you taste, but you ate. You ate of the heavenly partaken of God. And so, I'm the difference between true believers and false professors is the evidence of fruit. Paul states in verse 9, he is not referring to the... In verse 9, he's not... He identifies the true believers. In 7, 8, he shows that those are unbelievers. Paul states he is not referring to the true believers. In verse 9, look at verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You're not like that, verse 7 and 8. How many are with me? You're not the thorns and thistles. No. And so, don't let those people try to teach you that that you can lose your salvation. It's already 5 after 8. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read it, and we'll do it next week, along with the other one, because I'm completely done with chapter 6 now, so we can start fresh with chapter 10 next week. But I'm going to read it to you. Hebrews 10, 26 through 29. Oh, this is a good one, man. Wow, I love this one. I led people to Christ on verse 29. When I was a young kid, I led people to Christ in that verse 29. Look at verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10. For if we sin willfully, how many see that? After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Woo! Next week, here's what we're going to work on next week. What was the willful sin? What was the willful sin that they willfully did not receive? What was it? And what was the truth that they didn't receive, rather? What was the truth that they did not receive? And what was the willful sin that they were doing? I'll show you next week on Wednesday. How's that for a teaser? I'll show you that next Wednesday. And I'll also take you, we'll finish that, we'll do this, and then we'll also take Hebrews chapter 12. There's some more, there's another one in 12. All right? I won't keep you long. All righty. Let's have a moment of prayer. Pray for Rod and Debbie, they're out of town. They're down at the Sword of the Lord Conference. Then he'll be, where's he going to be at this Sunday, John? They're going to be preaching somewhere. West Virginia, I think, isn't it? I think he's going to be in West Virginia. Okay. All right, that's one down, two more to go. Okay? Then I got some more stuff I want to show you in that book and some different thoughts. All righty. Look up here. Don't let that book of Hebrews. That book of Hebrews is tremendous. It's a tremendous book. And, The theme of the book of Hebrews is how much Jesus is better. He's better than the angels, better than the prophets, better than Moses, better high priest, better sacrifice. When you study the book of Hebrews, it's just, by the way, Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. But no matter who it's written to, we can all use it for truth. Because what happened, Brother Billy, that those Hebrew people, They were going back and starting to, they were losing their confidence in what they had been taught, and they were going back and trying to live by the law. They were trying to go back to the Mosaic things, and Paul says, no. Well, the author of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, He said, no, no, you don't understand. Jesus is not the law. He's far better than that. He's way better than the angels. He's way better than Moses. That got him going. Way better than Joshua. Way better than all these high priests that you had. Better high priest. Matter of fact, all your priests, they died. You had to keep this high priest never dies. He died once. He forever lives for more. All your sacrifices you gave up for 4,000 years, you had to keep giving sacrifices of blood of bulls and goats. He himself gave his blood once, and it's over now. He's a better sacrifice. His blood's better than the bulls and goats. Oh, he's so much better. Amen. And it's a great book. It's a tremendous book. Don't let anybody ruin you. Don't let no one steal the book of Hebrews from you. It's a tremendous book. It's a great book. And it teaches eternal security. Amen? Honey, why don't you play the piano for this one? Mark, leave me in one verse, Mark. And you never know what God could do. You never know what, you know what, Brother Mark? Sometimes I don't give invitations, but a lot of times, most times, you know, on Wednesday, I'll tell you why. You know, Dr. Brooke taught me a great truth. Did you know there was, even when I was going to Bible college, Dr. John Brooke would give invitations. We led people to Christ in Bible college.
Yep.
I think even in our Bible school, we had people saved.
Yep.
And so, why? Because people, the entrance of thy word giveth life.
Yes.
People coming here, learn the word of God, all of a sudden, man, I didn't even understand it. I didn't understand. When I thought I was saved, man, now I understand. I need Christ. It's amazing. God's word, it just opens up. Just keep reading that word, boy. It'll bring a lot of great truth to you. Amen?
Yes.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many could say for sure, preacher, I know for sure. I'm 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm 100% sure. Thank you. May put him down. Would there be any here tonight, and I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. I promise you. I give my word. But you say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. And I know I'm going to be accountable for the truth that God's given me. And I've been putting this off. And tonight might be my last night. Tonight might be my final opportunity to be saved. And I don't want to trod underfoot the Son of God. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Pray for me. Just raise and say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I'd sure like to be. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. Let me say this to you, and I'm going to pray. Right where you're sitting right now, for some reason, I just feel in my heart someone needs to be saved. I'm not trying to scare anybody. And this could be someone's last opportunity. I don't know. Maybe tonight, right where you're at, you could just say, look, just like I did in front of the old green couch years ago, I realized I needed Christ. I was already a member. Good Baptist church. Baptized. Soul winner. Gave money. Prayed. Witnessed. Might have told other people how to get to heaven. I'm sure I did. I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. I just said that simple prayer, and you could say that too. You could say it right now. No one's looking. You could just say it within yourself. If you're not sure, you could walk out of this building tonight, sure. You could be sure. You don't have to die and open your eyes up in hell. You don't have to burn in hell forever. You could be sure tonight. You could walk out and say, I've asked Christ to save me. You could lay your head on a pillow tonight and say, I know for sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. I've asked Christ into my heart. He's my Savior. You could, right now, if you've never done that, you could say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose that third day. I believe you're the Savior of the world. I need you to get to heaven. Come into my heart. Save me. I'm trusting you right now. You do that, he'll save you. And if you do it, do me a favor. Let me know. Or let one of the people in our church know, hey, I didn't come forward. But I'll tell the preacher, I asked Christ to save me today. Father, I pray for these Christians also. I know they're going through a lot of hard times, a lot of struggles in life, financially, health-wise, just pressures of the world. A lot of people trying to find a job. I know that you bring great peace, so I pray they'll seek you. Pray they'll seek you early in the morning, that they'll find you, and that they'll have the peace of God which passes all understanding. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're gonna stand. We're going to sing one verse, Mark. If you want to come for any reason, you come. What page are you singing, Mark?